Blog Talk Radio.
Who makes all things new, yeah, yeah, yeah. Not going back, moving ahead. That's what we got to do, not go back. We got to move ahead. We got to give and donate and give ourselves to Christ. Donate our time for his ministry. Give God what is due God, hallelujah, and what is due our Father God is us. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made. We will, we shall, we must rejoice glad in it. For you gave us breath in our body. You gave us another day that you didn't have to give us. So I thank you, Father God, for another day. I thank you, Father, to God, for the life that you have given me. I thank you, Father God, for your love and for your kindness, for your mercy, and for the peace that surpasses all understanding that can only come from you. Father God, I lift this word up to you this morning, asking you, Lord God, to increase as your daughter decreases. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your sight. You are my strength and my redeemer. You are my Father God, and I'm grateful. I'm thankful and I'm blessed to be your child. So, Father God, increase as I decrease. Take over, Lord God. May I speak what you need. Tell me to speak and only what you tell me to speak. Remove all flesh and replace it with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I lift up this word this morning, asking that it permeates heart, mind, and spirit, and gives us a reminder that distorted, unknown, it's distorted, repeated. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Understand that this chronicles are a historic lesson. This is all history that we're gaining. And when I say history, it's God's story. You know, God is telling us about his temple. He's telling us about his house. He's telling us everything we need to know and more than we could ever ask. Solomon started off and righteous, a great king. But even Solomon, with all his wisdom, fell short. We all fall short. So we ask God's forgiveness. We've got to pray for our nation. Because now we have copycats out there. You know, young man shoots up 21 people. Now we have another one that thought it would be just fine to take his little AR-15 and shoot up folks just celebrating Independence Day. Just celebrating Independence Day. And, let me take my gun and shoot him up. We have got to pray. People of God, pray. Pray for this nation. Pray for our planet. threat for this world. The enemy is not after old folks who know the Lord. He's after our children that don't know Jesus. He's after our children that have seen the hypocrisy of the church. He is after our kids. So I take a moment of silence, pray for the people of Highland Park. And pray for the souls of those that have departed. And I pray for this 22-year-old young man that they are holding in custody for the possible killing of 6 people in the hospitalization of more than 19, ranging from age 8, 26 people were rushed to the hospital with 6 dying, ages 8 to 85. Father God in heaven, we take a moment to lift up the people of Highland Park, to lift up the young man shot over 100 times by police, to lift up all those that have died because of gun violence, oh God. Gun violence in the right hand and gun violence in the wrong hand. Forgiveness, Father God, for the sins of our fathers. We ask forgiveness, Father God, for our sins. And we ask you, Lord God, that the souls of the righteous be waiting to rise with you. The souls of those killed violently. Lord God, we ask you to forgive all sins. To guide our footsteps. And Lord God, wash away the sins of this nation. That we may live righteously and happy, joyous lives, loving each other and not hating. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, I ask forgiveness for my world, oh God. Ask you to forgive us our sins. All of us are sins. Forgive my sins. Forgive us, oh God, that we may love, that we may live, move, and have our being because you are with us, God. I pray this morning for bereaved families all over this planet, those that have lost loved ones for unexplained reasons. I ask you to forgive perpetrators as you forgive victims. I lift up the name of Jesus over this planet today, Lord God, asking you to watch over, to guide and to lead your children. For you are not just the God of Israel. You are the God of all of us. You are all our dad. You are all our father. You belong to us all, God. We are all your children. So, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven or on earth like you. And we lift up today our sins and ask forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep America in your prayers, family. We need Jesus. We need Jesus in our world. We need him. And I am so grateful that we have the Lord God of Israel, who we can say, there is no God in heaven or on earth like you. There's no God like our God. He created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. He created me, created you. He created us all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He created us all. He reigns on the just and the unjust. He reigns on the lazy as well as the one that gets up and does what they need to do. God is in charge of us all. But we got to trust him. We got to believe in him. And we got to move forward knowing that he said in his word, he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. And I stand on God's word. Let's trust in the Lord and pray. Pray that no other young person is a horrible weapon to shoot and kill innocent people. Because you got a weapon, I got a weapon, he's got a weapon, they got a weapon, the children got a weapon, everybody got a weapon. Somebody is going to die. And God will hold those accountable who make laws to allow it. We got to give it all to God and trust in him. But he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God doesn't change. We do. Trust in the Lord today. Give whatever it is to God and watch him work in your life. Have a blessed day. I was just kidding. We're getting ready to get into our word. Hallelujah. Y'all like, she getting ready to end the show? No, I'm not. This is about the word of God, and we're getting ready to go into the word of God. So let's get into God's word this morning. Because, again, if we don't read his story, it can be repeated. And we don't want some of the sins of our forefathers to be repeated in our generation. Because God didn't play then, and he don't play now. Don't get it twisted. We are saved by grace and by the blood of Jesus Christ. But Father God is still in charge. Don't ever forget that. Daddy God is in charge of everything. He is with you. He will not forsake you. But he will beat you behind when you don't act right. He's just like any other dad. Don't get it twisted. He's not a stand you in the corner kind of daddy. He's a beat you behind kind of daddy. And get your attention. So understand, he is our Father, and he loves us, but he don't play. So let's get into this awesome word this morning. It says, so all the work that Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in the things which his father David had dedicated, the silver and the gold, and all the furnishings of the house of God. And I am coming out of 2 Chronicles chapter 5 through chapter 6. It says, now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the chief fathers of the children of Israel of Jerusalem, that they might bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord up from the city of David, which is Zion. Therefore, all the men of Israel assembled with the king at the feast, which was in the seventh month. And we are in the seventh month. So all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. Then they brought up the ark, the tabernacle meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought them up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him before the ark were sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. Then the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple to the most holy place under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles. The poles extended so that the ends of the poles of the ark to be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside, and they are there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the two tablets, which Moses put there at Horeb, which the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their division. And the Levites, who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and the Jeduthun with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpet and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." That the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, but the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Oh, hallelujah. Whew, makes you want to holler. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord God, for you are awesome. You are great. You are mighty. You are God. And God, you are good. And your mercy endures forever. We got to praise the Lord. For he is good. For his mercy endures forever. There is no God like our God. You're going to make me stop this morning, Lord. Then it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and 14, this life lesson from Dr. Stanley. And for those that are like, what is she talking about, Dr. Stanley? The Bible that we are using is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And this is a daily Bible where you can go to a date every day, and there is scripture. There is a life lesson. There may be a life example, or ask you a question, a life question, something that you can have in your meditation to get you through the day. And so when I say life lessons or life examples or life questions or what the Bible says, those are from Dr. Charles Stanley. And again, disclaimer, I am not being paid by his ministry to hawk his Bible. But I will tell you, this is one of the best study Bibles you can buy. It's New King James, so it's easy to read. It has so much knowledge that all you have to do is just pick your day, July 5th, and this is the word. And so I study this word, and I do this on Blog Talk Radio to get God. I gain no money from it. I don't get paid from it. I pay to do it. It's part of my tithes that I give to God to do this blog, because it is so important that we do what God calls us to do. And my calling is teaching and teaching his word and giving a word to get you through the day. So I ask you, if you have an opportunity to get this Bible, get it for your biblical arsenal. You should have more than one Bible. I have so many different ones, and they're all for a purpose and a reason. I have not one Bible that I don't like. And we have gone through many on this show. We have gone chronologically. We have gone through the Greek and the Hebrew. We have gone through this Bible by Dr. Stanley This is our second year in it. And we may have a third. I don't know God's plan until God gives it to me what Bible I'm going to be using. Because I thought I was going to something new. But no, you're going to use this one. And so that's why we're in it. And we're going to be in it until the 31st of December when we end it in Revelation. So this is what we do. We read the Bible. We study the Bible. We talk about current affairs. Whatever God gives me to do is what I do. So I thank God today for all of you that take the time to join us to study and to read the Word of God. And I will be quite honest, there are names that I will butcher in this Bible, but God knows my heart. So I just tell you up front, I have issues with some names. And I believe that God is working with me to speak and to say the things clearly that I need to. I thank God for greatness. I thank God for his greatness, for his love, for his son, for the Holy Spirit that's in us. So let's get back into our word. And so we are in the life lessons again. Dr. Stanley tells us, first he gives us our scripture, and then he gives us the lesson. And the scripture is 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 14. The priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. God's presence is sometimes so overpowering that you can't help whatever you're doing. You may think that you must do something in order to please God. However, what he really wants is your full attention and obedience. Can I say it again? God wants our full attention and obedience. Real worship is when you exalt him. It's not what you do for him. God is worthy of your worship and complete concentration. So take time to enjoy him often. We got to enjoy time with God. But there is nothing like being in his presence. There is nothing like raising your hand and saying, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for my children. Thank you, Lord, for just giving me peace in the midst. Thank you, Lord, for obedience. Thank you, Lord, for just being gracious and loving. Thank you, Lord, this morning. We got to give God thanks. Solomon gave God thanks when he built his temple, not to his own specifications, but to the specifications given by divine order. And then he moved in all the stuff that was completed and given to David by divine order. David couldn't build the house, but David filled it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for that word. David couldn't build the house, but he filled it. He loved the Lord, and he gave that love of God to his son. And as we go into chapter 6, it says, then Solomon spoke. The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. Then the king turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel. While all the assembly of Israel was standing, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has fulfilled with his hands what he spoke with his mouth to my father David, said, since the day that I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I have chosen no any tribe of Israel in which to build a house that my name might be there, nor did I choose any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. Yet I have chosen Jerusalem that my name may be there, and I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well in that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the temple, but your son who will come from your body, he shall build the temple for my name. So the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spoke, and I have filled the position of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised. And I have built the temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And there I have put the ark in which is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with the children of Israel. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands. For Solomon had made a bronze platform 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, 3 cubits in the midst of the court. And he stood on it, knelt down on his knees before the assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven or on earth like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants, who walk before you with all their hearts. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand, as it is this day. And I got to go back, because the title this morning is Lord God of Israel. There is no God in heaven or on earth like you. Let's say it one more time for the Holy Spirit. Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven or on earth like you. There's no other God like our God. I got filled up reading that, because there's God like our God. Don't ever get it twisted. Them little G's are out there, but they are not our God. They didn't create anything. They didn't create this world. They didn't create every animal, including the dinosaur. They didn't create anything. But our God did. Our God created Adam. Our God created Eve. Our God destroyed this planet. Our God created Noah and his family to repopulate. You are my sisters. You are my brothers. You are my cousins, my aunts, my uncles. You are my great, 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 great. We are all family, and we got to start acting like it, acting like family, because we are. We all carry the same DNA, and we got to start acting like it. God wants us to love each other. He is not a hateful God. He is not a hateful God. When our children see us love each other, then they will love each other, and we can create a better planet. But if we keep acting like we're acting, fighting and killing, over what? What are you gaining killing your brothers and your sisters? What are you gaining trying to take over another culture? What are you gaining? I want to say we've got to stop the foolishness. You got to stop it. The hatred, the bigotry, making laws to take away rights of people over their own bodies. Come on now. We are not God. Our courts are not God. But they're trying to act like it. And understand the word tells us, thou shalt have no other God before me. Putting people on pedestals. And acting like they're God and worshiping them like they're God. Be careful that you don't fall into the trap of idolatry. There's no one like our God. No one. And as we continue in our word this morning, therefore, Lord God, verse 16 of 2 Chronicles chapter 6, therefore, Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servants. David, my father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man set before me on the throne of Israel only if your sons take heed to their way, that they walk in the law as you have walked before me. And now, O Lord God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David. But will God indeed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built. Yet regard the prayer of your servant and of his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you, that your eyes may be opened toward this temple, day and night, toward the place where you said you would put your name, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes toward you, and may you bear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel. When they pray toward this place, hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. If anyone sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath and comes and takes an oath before your altar in this temple, then hear from heaven and act and judge your servant, bringing retribution on the wicked by bringing his way on his own head, and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. Excuse me. Or if your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and return and confess your name and pray and make supplication before you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of the people of Israel and bring them back to the land which you gave to them and their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servant, your people Israel, that you may good way in which they should walk, and send rain on your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. When there is famine in the land, pestilence or blight, or mildew, locusts, or grasshoppers, when their enemies besiege them in the land of their city, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people Israel, when each one knows his own burden and his own grief and spreads out his hands in the temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive and give to everyone according to all his ways, whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of the sons of men. Thank you, God. That they may fear you to walk in your ways as long as they live in the land which you give to our fathers. Moreover, can a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country, for the sake of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when they come and pray in the temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all people of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. God is not prejudiced. Everybody is welcome to come in to his home, to his love, into his arms with prayer and supplication. We are all his children. When your people go out to battle against their enemies wherever you send them, and when they pray to you toward this city which you have chosen and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause when they sin against you. For there is no one who does not sin. Did you catch that? We all sin. I sin. You sin. We all have sinned and fallen short of God's miraculous glory. But we are blessed because he is a forgiving God. He is a loving God. He is a father that cares about his children. And he will chastise us and he will forgive us. We must pray. We must ask for forgiveness. We must carry our own burdens. And it goes on to tell us in verse 36, when they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, I have to say it again, and you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, and they take them captive to a land far or near. Yet when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication to you in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done wrong, we have committed wickedness. And when they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, where they have been carried captive, and pray toward their land which you gave to their fathers, the city which you have, toward the temple which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Now, my God, I pray, let your eyes be open, let your ears be attentive to the prayer made in this place. And now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests, O Lord, give. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. And let your saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed. Remember the mercies of your servant David. Whew, what a word this morning. And as we go to a life lesson, it says this in 2 Chronicles 6:30. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and forgive and give to everyone according to all his ways. We might consider this verse the Old Testament equivalent of Philippians 4:6. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God, hallelujah. And I say that Philippians word one more time. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And I'm not talking your ATM request. I'm talking your salvation request. Hallelujah. God already knows your financial needs. God already knows that you need whatever it may be. But I'm talking about your self, because all the stuff in this world, I say it on a regular, you cannot take with you. All the shoes, all the clothes, all the this, all the that, it is going to be here when you go. But your soul, that's what goes to God. And that is the we should be making. Lord, forgive me my sins. I am asking you, God, to cleanse me. White as snow. Cleanse me with this, God. Lord, help me to be better. That's the request we should be making, because it is our salvation that is at stake. Are you trusting God this morning? Answer to life questions. How does my relationship with the Lord affect what and how I hear from him? Our relationship with God, the most important aspect of our lives, often greatly affects what we hear when we pray and listen. The only message an unbeliever will ever hear from God is that he is a sinner who needs Jesus as his Savior. Until that person knows Christ, personal Messiah, he will not hear God speak on any subject other than salvation. Come on now. in the life of a believer. That speaker here relationship has two main features. First, we are saved when by faith we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The Bible says we are born again. God takes us from the kingdom of darkness and places us into the kingdom of light. We become children of God. Our salvation experience begins our relationship with Him. I thank God for my salvation experience. I thank God that He called me as a child. I thank God that He allowed me to come home when I had strayed. I thank God that He has loved me, that He gave me His Son, and that He forgave me my sins. I'm grateful that God allowed me to come home like the prodigal child and to call me again. Hallelujah. Thank God this morning for His grace. And as we get into the second, thing Dr. Stanley tells us is, we are identified with Him. Our salvation takes care of our eternal security, while our identification takes care of our daily walk of victory. By identification, I mean that Christ's life is now mine, and mine is His. It is no longer I who live, but Christ in me. Galatians 2:20. What happened to Christ at Calvary also happened to me. Christ was crucified. I was crucified. Christ was buried. I was buried. Christ raised. I was raised. One who is safe and secure in the love of God and sustained by His grace no longer hears from a distant God. He now listens to someone who loves Him enough to bring Him into a close personal relationship, and that makes all the difference. We no longer come to Him groping and pleading, wondering where he accepted. Through my identification with him, I come gladly and boldly, knowing that I am accepted not because of my behavior, but because of my belief in Him and in what He has already accomplished. Thus, I can approach Him with confidence and great assurance. Jesus is now my personal, faithful, and merciful High Priest. He is my Father with whom I enjoy intimate communication. I no longer have to stand on the perimeter, squinting into the distant dark glimpse of His presence. Jesus has paid the price of relationship with God through His shed blood, so that now I am a full member of His own family, sitting daily before Him, totally secure in my sonship. Why do I hear in my daughtership? Why do I hear His voice? I hear it because I am one of the sheep of His pasture. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that 99 wouldn't do and that you called me to be in the 100. Hallelujah. I thank God today for forgiveness and that His grace sustains me. I get filled up because I know where I was and I know where God brought me from. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 79:11-13. Let the groaning of the prisoner come before you according to the greatness of your power. Preserve those who are to our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom, the reproach with which they have reproached you, O Lord. So we, your people and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. I am thanking God today for being your shepherd. We will show forth your praise to all generations. Hallelujah. Are you praising God with me this morning? Hallelujah. Salvation and glory, honor and power unto the Lord our God. For the Lord our God is mighty. The Lord our God is omnipotent. The Lord our God, He is wonderful. Thank you, God, for your grace, for your mercy, for your goodness, for your kindness, for your love, for your strength, for your everything, God, you have given me to us. We just thank you this morning. And the word tells us, do not love sleep lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with bread. Get up and go to work is what it's saying. It's time to go to work. Because a man who does not work does not eat. Not my word, but God's word. For nothing cries a buyer. And when he has gone his way, then he boasts. Come on now. Whew. We got to be honest in all we do. Acts chapter 13. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Cilicia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Y'all remember this story, right? Who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. The man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the strength? Ooh, perverting the straight ways of the Lord. I'm going to read that again, because Saul's about to show out through the Holy Spirit. It says, again, Saul, who also is filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, no, it wasn't Paul. It was the Holy Spirit. Looked intently at him and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a darkness fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Galatia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, men and brethren, if you have any word or exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and motioned with his hand and said, men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it. Now for a time of about 40 years, He put up with the ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterwards, they asked for a king. God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. From this man's seed, according to the promise God raised up for Israel, a Savior, Jesus. After John had first preached before him, coming to baptism of repentance of all people of Israel, and as John was finishing his cause, he said, who do you think I am? I am not you. But behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. Whew, what a word this morning. That is our word for today. We have just completed Acts chapter 13 and just a life lesson from Acts chapter 13. And it says this, from this man's seed, according to the promise God raised up for Israel, a Savior, Jesus. Paul was always reminding the Jewish people that Christ was the fulfillment of God's covenant with David and Abraham. This is because from childhood, they would have looked forward to the Messiah. However, they were looking for an earthly deliverer rather than an eternal salvation God was offering. Their understanding needed to change, yet even when God is changing our understanding, we can always remember that Jesus not only saved us, he is the ultimate reminder that God always keeps his promises. Hallelujah. Thanking the Lord today for this mighty word. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, a word from our sister in Christ. If there's anyone that would like to speak, the number to dial is 213-943-3597. Put a word in your heart. Our title for this morning again is Lord God of Israel. There is no God in heaven or on earth like you. It is a prayer. Hallelujah. Thanking God for this greatness and for his mercy. This morning, I have not gotten our word this morning from Sister Carolyn, but we will give that word on tomorrow. I believe she's on her way back home from her vacation. So we will hear from Sister Carolyn on tomorrow. And our word for this morning, our prayer as we get ready to wrap up on this fifth day of July. Wow. Seven complete. Five grace, complete grace is our day today. So thank God for complete grace. Hallelujah. And it says this, simplicity. I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's clever lies, your thoughts may be corrupted and you may lose your single-hearted devotion and pure love for Christ. And that's 2 Corinthians 11:3. From the TPT Bible. And let's just go and get that from our New King James so that everybody understands that word. So please join me in your King James or your New King James as we go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to go to verse 1. That verse is verse 3, but we're going to go to verse 1 so it's all in context. And it says this, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed, you do bear with me, for I'm jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I betrothed you to one husband that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear that someone somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your mind may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. But if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom you have, we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. And this is this word is dealing with faith and understanding that there will be false people coming in the name of Christ. And that we have to beware of the false teachers, of the false preachers. We got to beware of the false apostles. Because there were false apostles back in the day of Christ, in the day after Christ, excuse me. There were false apostles teaching a false word that Paul and the true apostles had to put in their place, like Bar Jesus is. You know, we got to be very, very careful of who we listen to. But as our prayer goes forth, it says, God of my heart, you are my first love. Hallelujah. The greatest love of my life. I am overcome when I consider your faithfulness to me, even in my deliberate wandering, where my heart has filled with the love of other things that compete for your attention and affection. I ask that you open my eyes to the greatness of who you are. I don't want to waste energy on lesser loves that have nothing lasting to give me. With the clarity of a sound mind, I consider the fruit of your presence in my life. Your affections aren't dictated by my response. You don't hold back your friendship when I am distancing myself. You are so much better than anyone I've ever known. Why would I let my heart be divided when you are the endless goodness I've been searching for? Let the pull of that my heart and mind on you. And this is a word for today. What has distracted you from God's love lately? Don't allow the distractions to take you away from the love of God. And remember, as we go through the day today, to pray this prayer. Let God know that you know who he is in your life. Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven or on earth like you. Let God know that you know who he is. There is none on this earth like our God. And he loves you. He loves you. He loves us completely and totally. Give your heart to God today. Don't let yourself be distracted by the evil one. Have a blessed day, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day of complete grace over you to bless you, to guide you, and to lead you. Let God be first in everything you do and watch him work in your life. Have a great day, family. It is, as we say, I'm moving forward. It's a wrap. Why? Because we're always willing, ready, available, ready, and praying for each and every one of you. Have a great day and enjoy time with God. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. God willing, I'll be here tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.